HarperCollins presents The Madness, a memoir of war, fear and PTSD by Fergal Keane, read by Fergal Keane. Prologue, A Trail of Shadows. Kyiv, 20th of February, 2022. I open the curtains and see the light coming up. It will be a beautiful day. There's no cloud, the temperature has risen above zero. Crisp, dry weather with little wind to chill our uncovered faces. A day to walk down Krashachik Street and eat in the Turkish restaurant with the view up towards Maidan Square. We sat there last week and saw the demonstrators materialize outside, a long line of them, everyone from far-right nationalists to the local LGBTQ organizations. Only in this part of Eastern Europe, this Kyiv, would you see the likes of it. Together they sang the national anthem, Glory to Ukraine, and then dispersed. But what is coming? What is coming from across the horizon towards Kyiv, Dnipro, Kramatorsk, Mariupol, Odessa, and all the land that lies in the way of Putin's malign designs? We've exhausted ourselves with speculation. Every meal is a repeat of the same conversation. The Russia experts among our group think it unlikely that Putin will invade, or at the worst they think he'll escalate in the east but not try to take Kyiv. There's constant questioning of Allied intelligence, which has been warning daily of the invasion threat. How do they really know he's going to attack? My gut says he'll not leave this job unfinished and allow a rebellious government to remain in Kyiv. But I waver briefly when the Russians announce they want to de-escalate. Not for long. Day after day, the armies gather on the border. Pontoon bridges appear. Soon the provocations start in the east. I watch it unfold and think of my friends in the way of the advance. Anatoly and Svetlana, the dear elderly beekeeper and his family, who've suffered so much already, live in the path of the Russian army. Still, see how lovely the light is, the pink glow spreading up the sky from the east. The Russians concealed in the forest see the same dawn. They will be restless. Most soldiers on the eve of battle think of loved ones and home, or they do their best not to think of what might be lost forever in the days and weeks to come. None know for sure that they won't end up dead or with their guts spilling out, or with some particularity or combination of anatomical dismemberment in a muddy field or a ruined house. The Ukrainians facing them see the same light. The people of Bucha and Hostomel and Irpin are heading out to work or taking their kids to school. I have driven through these places on the way to and from meetings. They are not yet weighted with any significance, just names of places I pass by. It's 5 days since I walked in no man's land with Major Sergei Komenko, who grew up in a border village, whose father was a soldier in Soviet times, and who said he would stand and fight if the Russians came. But nearly every soldier I've ever met said that. Would it be different for him if the columns come rolling down the road? All heavy-caliber bullets and rockets, all that insane noise of an army attacking. We were standing near the forest on the border with Belarus, deep, snowbound forests that might conceal an army that probably did, watching us and waiting for its orders to advance. That was a week ago when I still thought there was a chance, a very small one, that diplomacy might work. But Putin is playing a game, and the shrewder of the world leaders know it. His army is coming. I struggle with myself. To stay or leave, I have made promises to those I love, to myself. No more frontline war reporting. I also fear my nerves might not be able to take it. Am I asking for another crack-up and hospitalization? I've said to myself often in the last few years that I cannot endure another breakdown. But the surge of desire to stay here is so strong. It's in my head and in the marrow of my bones. The reasons are pouring out. I'm a reporter. I'm meant for this.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?